Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is another week, and we are here once again. You are listening to the Brothers of Discussion Pro Wrestling Podcast, and we are on episode 3.
Whoa. Pump the brakes.
Wow, I didn't even get to introduce you yet. What's up, man?
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
What's your name?
Rob T.
And what is my name?
Fanboy Dave.
And what is the name of our podcast?
Brothers of Discussion Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, the reason I'm asking is because why in the blue hell, last week's episode, and I know these people heard it, you said 3 times Brothers of Destruction. Do I look like The Undertaker? Because I know as hell you do not look like Kane.
Yes, you got a point. I screwed up. You're right. I heard it too. It was too late to change it. Hey, man.
Do happens. You want to say it with me? But we are the brothers of discussion.
Yes.
Not the brothers of destruction.
Right. Right.
Those are two big shoes to fill, or 4 shoes to fill.
Yeah.
The Undertaker, Kane, phenomenal.
Yes.
We are not them.
We are not them.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are not them. No. We are the brothers of discussion.
Yes. That was my bad. I apologize. I made a mistake. Thank you so much for pointing that out. I really do appreciate it.
Well, that's what Fanboy Dave is here for.
And I do appreciate that. So we are here. It's another week. And I'm going to check my mic real quick as we're discussing. Fanboy Dave, why don't you tell them what we're going to talk about a little bit today?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about 2 of the greatest factions in pro wrestling history. My favorite, of course, D-Generation X and the NWO.
And NWO, was that maybe your second favorite?
Well, I mean, I did like the NWO, but I mean, DX, WWE.
Because of them being WWE.
Well, not only that, my favorite wrestler of all times is the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Ah, yes, and he was
the leader.
Yeah, he was the leader. Although there could be an argument for that, wouldn't you say?
Maybe, but if you're coming straight from Jump when it was incarnated, is that the right word?
I think I know what you're trying to say, but it'll work.
Well, when it was created.
Yeah, basically. I get what you're saying.
Shawn Michaels was the leader.
Yeah, so let's start with that. So I don't know if you know this or not. I did a little bit of research, but NWO did come first.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, NWO did come first. And with the NWO, it actually started. I mean, this is kind of what kicked off the Monday Night Wars. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree with you.
Yeah, so we're looking at the date of July 7th, 1996. If I'm not mistaken, technically that is the date when Hulk Hogan made his famous, infamous, whatever you want to call it, heel turn at Bash at the Beach. Did you watch that pay-per-view?
I don't remember, but...
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but I knew there was a lot of buzz, so maybe I saw... Was YouTube around back then?
No. But I'm sure you probably saw some kind of replay or...
Maybe I bootlegged it or something.
Maybe. Yeah, we're talking like 96, man. This was before YouTube and all that stuff happened. I didn't see the pay-per-view either. Wait a minute. Did I? Dude, it's so long ago. 96, I think I was 21. So it was a long time ago. I'm 46 now. So if
that was a long time ago.
So if I'm 21 at that time, you're 5 years younger than me. So what is that? My math's not good. Say 15, right? 15 years old. So you were just a wee teenager.
Yeah. Wild, running wild teenager.
All right. So I want to say I did have the pay-per-view because I do remember seeing it. And oh my God, those were the days when... People were still throwing shit in the ring. I'm sorry, stuff in the ring.
We are PG, bro.
Sorry.
Stop with the cussing.
Sorry.
I am sorry, ladies and gentlemen. And if there's little kids out there, my older brother has no regard for y'all, so I do apologize.
I apologize. That's back when they used to throw crap in the ring. And, man, they were throwing so much stuff in the ring. And so let's start off with the first one, beat NWO. The infamous promo made by Hulk Hogan, of course, who comes out as Hollywood Hulk Hogan. So for those of y'all that don't know what happened, we had the hostile takeover. You got to keep in mind, as Fanboy Dave said, there was no, well, there was internet, but not to the extent that we have it now. And so all of a sudden on an episode of Monday Nitro, who happens to show up but Scott Hall walking in from the crowd?
I'm not going to lie, I flipped over.
Yeah, no doubt. I think everybody did, right?
Because they're like, what is he doing there? Because, you know, back then, not how the curtain is open now, nobody was like, hey, that's a WWE guy.
Exactly, and that's exactly my point. Nobody knew what the hell was going on. Nobody. So I remember back then the big buzz was that Vince was doing a hostile takeover, right? And that's basically the card they played. He comes out, and he's talking like Razor Ramon. Right? He's acting like Razor Ramon. So you're automatically assuming it's Razor Ramon. He comes out and he says, you all know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. And that's what kicked it all off. I believe it was the week after that, or maybe the 2 weeks after that. Then you have Kevin Nash on the scene. So this whole thing is playing up to...
Well, yeah, because then Kevin Nash was talking to Eric Bischoff and say, so this is where the big boys play.
That's right. That's right. And he goes... check out the moniker, play. We're not here to play, right? So that starts it off. They're talking, taking over. And at this point in time, we don't know what they're talking about. We're all assuming that it's WWE coming in to take over WCW. I mean, that's what the buzz was. So now they're setting up this thing where they're going to have a match, and they're going to choose three WCW guys that are going to go against Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, who everybody knows as Diesel and Razor Ramon from WWE, right? So
and a mystery partner.
And a mystery partner, correct. So the three guys that are chosen for WCW are Sting, Lex Luger, and Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah, brother.
And
that was pretty good.
Thank you. So we got these three. So now fast forward to July 7th. We're talking Bash at the Beach. The match is on. The match gets started. Sting, Luger, Macho Man, they're all wearing the Sting face paint. Keep in mind, this is way before the whole crow face paint that Sting had. He still had that whole colored gimmick face paint going on. And the match is getting heated. Now, total shoot, brother. Here, apparently, in the match, they're getting their stuff in on Macho Man. And Macho Man is... And I'm talking shoot. When I say shoot, for those of y'all that don't know, that's basically saying this was for real. He wasn't laying down for them, right? So they were just kind of beating on him and whatnot. So during this whole thing happens, you know, they're cheating or whatever. All of a sudden, here comes Hulk Hogan, and he's wearing the red and yellow. I can still hear it in my head now. Tony Schiavone, you know, it was like, it's Hulk Hogan. You better believe it is. You know,
wasn't that Dusty Rhodes that said you better believe there was? Because it was Dust, right. Dusty was on there.
He was on commentary.
Bobby Heenan always being Bobby, because Bobby in the church, but whose side is he on?
Yes, exactly.
And then Dusty's like, what do you mean, what side is he on?
Exactly. And then I'll never forget it. Hulk Hogan goes back for the leg drop, and you hear Tony Schiavone go, and then boom, he drops the leg on Macho Man, and it's revealed he's the third man.
Didn't they say that kids were crying in the stands?
Kids were crying. And not only was that happening, they started throwing crap in the ring right away. And it was at that moment, Mean Gene goes into the ring and starts to have an interview with Hulk Hogan. And he says to Hulk Hogan that the crap being thrown in the ring is basically a representation of him at that moment. No. Sorry. Scratch that. Hulk Hogan says that as far as he was concerned, that the crap in the ring was basically symbolizing of all the wrestling fans. And, oh, my God, that Hulk Hogan got so much heat. I mean, that
and
ring.
They can stick it, he said, or something like that.
That ring was so full of just garbage. So this is what kicks off the Monday Night Wars. And I know, speaking for myself at this point in time, when that Monday Night Nitro came on the next night, I started watching it from the get-go. I turned away from WWF at the time and was watching Nitro because I needed to see what was going to happen. And then lo and behold, you know, the whole thing starts with the NWO. So at this point in time, the NWO is Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall, the three of them. And they are basically starting to make their mark. They're starting to make their hostile takeover. And it is just must-see TV.
It's fire.
Like. Yeah, definitely. So for the next year, I mean, honestly, I think it was longer than that, but pretty much this puts WCW Nitro in the lead when it comes to ratings. All right. Now let's go over to the other side. August 11th, 1997, D-Generation X debuts.
Are you ready?
How does that happen? Do you remember that episode, Dave? Fanboy Dave? Can you think back to it? Let me jog your memory here. At the time, there was it was Shawn Michaels, Triple H, of course, in China, and Rick Rude.
That's right.
Right.
A lot of people don't remember that Rick Rude was in the original members of DX.
Right. Right. And at this point in time, what's going on is Shawn Michaels is basically, well, both of them really is. They're basically being degenerates. And they're going against their bucking
you
authority.
You make the rules and we break them.
That's right. They're bucking authority. They're talking back. They're doing all this other kinds of stuff. And at this point in time, Shawn Michaels is starting to feud with Bret the Hitman Hart.
Oh, yes. And you go back in the day, and a lot of people don't know, if they're not wrestling fans, like, they weren't fans of each other.
No, they were not. It got very real in a lot of those promos, I mean, for sure.
Doing business was like pulling teeth,
mm-hmm.
you know, because both alpha males not wanting to give to the other, like.
Yeah. And I think up at this point, they had already had that one backstage fight that became real popular. Let's not forget the Sunny Days promo.
Oh, yeah.
That Shawn did to Bret. I mean, there was so much animosity between the two. And I think with the inception, that's the word you're looking for earlier.
Yeah, that's what it was. Thank you.
You're welcome. With the inception of D-Generation X, it just added fuel to that fire. No doubt it added fuel to that fire. And, I mean, it took off.
Well, of course, because Shawn Michaels could be himself. And back in the days of D-Generation X, I mean, there was a lot of people did not want to work with Shawn because he was
an ass.
Well, yeah, thank you. You can say that because I'm not saying no bad words on this podcast.
I mean, bottom line, he was an ass. I mean, everybody that talks from back then, wrestlers, announcers, people in the back, they all said it. He was difficult to work with. He got into shouting matches with Vince McMahon. And even Vince says it out of his own mouth that that's the only one he would ever let get away with that, which was Shawn Michaels. And
best wrestler ever.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's because he knew what he had in Shawn Michaels, of course. So at this point in time, there's the rivalry going on, or the feud, if you will, with Shawn, or with DX, really, and the Hart Foundation. Because at this point in time, Bret Hart had reformed the Hart Foundation.
With his brother, Owen.
With Owen, with Jim the Anvil Neidhart, with British Bulldog, and Brian Pillman, if you
that's
remember.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, it was all of them. And, oh man, it made for some great TV. Man, did it make for some great TV. So let's go back. Let's compare here, Fanboy Dave. With NWO, you definitely had the cool factor with the vignettes they did. They were very different, very grainy, very black and white, very gritty. Right? Very underground. And it really did make NWO look like a separate entity from WCW.
Well, yeah, because their attacks were all on anybody that was representing WCW
exactly.
at the time. Sting,
yeah.
Flair,
right.
Rey Mysterio.
Right. Oh, boy. That one where they threw Rey Mysterio into the side of the truck or whatever it was. That was
a big thud.
That was hardcore, man. But here's the thing. So what was NWO known for besides that? They had the real cool T-shirt, of course. They had the had they started doing the two suite at this point, or was that not until
that was later?
That was later, right? Okay, so at this point in time, it's really just kind of the cool factor of what they did. They kind of adopted a little bit of that hip hop attitude, but DX started incorporating the crotch chops.
Oh yes,
their famous two words. Suck it, you know, that, you know, we all got in trouble for as kids.
That's right.
So
their approach was different because what made it different with NWO, they were after like WCW, and DX was more of the authority that who was in charge, which at that time was Sergeant Slaughter.
Right.
and, you know, defying whatever they say. They're like, we're going to do whatever we want.
Right. So what you're saying is DX's battle was against management.
That's right.
Whereas the NWO was against the company.
That's right.
Right. So, yeah, you definitely got a point there. Not only that, another big difference was NWO beat up everybody. DX always got beat up. But it was the attitude behind it. I think about the, I think it was a documentary on the network, right? Where Chris Jericho was talking about how much of a jerk Shawn was, even in some of the stuff they did. There was one where he was in an ankle lock with Ken Shamrock, had him in an ankle lock, and Shawn's tapping out, but he still got the lollipop in his mouth. Like, it's just such an a-hole thing to do.
Sticking it to him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, Ken Shamrock, oh, man.
Yeah.
He was a lot.
Oh, he was legit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Most dangerous man, is that what they called him?
Yeah. Yeah, the most dangerous man. And so, and both factions, I believe, definitely, how can I say, they pushed the envelope. But, man, if I'm being honest, I think DX pushed it a little bit more.
Well, of course. Shawn Michaels had to apologize when he had his State of the
Union. Talk about that.
You know, because I think what U.S., they were pushing the envelope really, really, like, almost to, like, I can't let children watch this anymore.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, I think at that time, Vince, you know, they were losing, what was it, for 83 straight weeks or something?
63.
Sorry about that. So I think Vince was just like, hey, we're pushing it to as far as that we can.
And well, he finally let them be them, basically, be themselves. So the difference, even Shawn Michaels has said this, he's been quoted as saying this, that the difference between NWO and DX was that NWO was more like, they were trying to be more like gangsta.
Yeah.
Whereas DX, they weren't trying to be gangsta. They were just trying to do what was cool at the time. You know, so that was why they were more, let's be real, they were more on the provocative side of things. They
very provocative,
you know. Yeah, for sure.
You know, he would moon people,
definitely,
and stuff like that. And it's just like, wow.
Yeah,
not to it was like really raunchy, but pretty close.
Definitely pretty close. There was video footage. I mean, there was one. Shawn was always egging the crowd on. He was being a heel at this point, right? Definitely being a heel. And if you remember from some of those first early videos, he's mimicking fellatio, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
To the fans, you know, and humping the rampway.
Yeah.
There's just so much that's going on, but it was cool.
Oh, everybody loved it.
Yeah. At this point in time, we're talking about, you're looking at the main audience at this time where, like, high school kids and college kids, this stuff, they're going to eat up. They're going to be so into this stuff. And like we joked about earlier, but it was true. Kids were getting in trouble at school for crotch chopping one another. And you
teachers,
know,
if they didn't like what they said.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it was the time. I remember getting my first DX t-shirt and it being like a badge of honor. You know, I would say DX was also my favorite faction. NWO was probably my second favorite for sure. But I think DX did it better, in my opinion.
Well, now, yeah, I think they're funnier, you know, because like I said, versus like the gangster mentality of the NWO.
Right, right.
I mean, and like we were talking about earlier, when they got in trouble and apologized, and they had this whole State of the Union, and he says, well, you get to sleep, we're up all night, you know, suggesting that he didn't sleep and he was having fun with his lady friend.
Exactly, exactly. So they were definitely pushing the envelope in that area. Whereas with NWO, here's another thing that I saw. If you looked at WWF at the time, this is before they dropped the F, those buzzwords, you know, like, they weren't afraid to say ass. They weren't afraid to say the B word and things like that. That at that time, those words were dropped. But if you remember, WCW wouldn't.
No, they would not do that.
Yeah, they wouldn't drop those words. So again, another point to WWE in the whole, I guess, risque or whatever you want to call it, department of pushing that envelope. And I believe, in my opinion, this is what started to help get them ahead of the curve when it came to the ratings. You had Stone Cold Steve Austin, who's flipping off everybody, you know, Austin 316 says, I just whipped your ass. They're not going to say that on WCW television. They're not going to say that. Yeah. So at this point in time, this is when WWF starts to pull ahead of those ratings. And a big reason for that is definitely DX. So what we're also discussing today is basically, you know, we're going to talk about what we think, but, you know, what do you think? Who do you think was the better faction? Do you think it was NWO? Do you think it was DX? Now, here's another question to make you scratch your brain. Do you think there would be a DX?
Can you scratch your brain, or you mean your head?
Or my head, whatever. You can scratch your brain if you put a, you know, Q-tip up there far enough. Anyway, would you say that if it wasn't for NWO, maybe there wouldn't be a DX?
I mean, that's possible, but then you go way back years later that they said Eric Bischoff just straight up was a knockoff of, I guess, in Japan?
No, it was a ripoff.
Straight
ripoff.
I mean, you would know because you watch everything that's non-WWE.
So. Well, it was a straight ripoff, honestly. They had, in New Japan Pro Wrestling, they had the same, basically the same storyline, the same concept. It was just different names. And if you remember, and we were talking about this before we started the show, here was the other thing that was really different with DX at the time and NWO. DX had the three main members.
Yes.
Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and China, right?
Right.
And NWO, oh my God, they added members practically every week.
That is true, and I think we can talk about that more, but it's just like going into NWO white and black, and then eventually NWO red and black. But
correct.
But you are right. In NWO black and white, I mean, I think it was cool when it was just the first three or the three original members.
Right.
But then if you think about it, I mean, do you know how many members there were in there?
Bro, I mean, there was so many. They had, like, if I remember correctly, there was a couple of episodes where there was like four limos full. And everybody in there were wearing NWO shirts.
I know, but do you remember, like, Ted DiBiase was in the NWO?
Originally, yeah.
Did you remember that Dusty Rhodes was in the NWO?
Barely, but yes.
He was more of a manager for
you're right.
Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
You're right.
Virgil?
Virgil, yep. Scott Norton.
Buff Bagwell. Bruce the Barber. I mean, the Disciple.
Yep, that was another NWO member. The Giant.
Yep. Paul, what was his
Paul
name?
White.
Paul White. I should remember that. The Big Show, I mean.
No, he's Paul White now.
That's right.
Because he's All Elite.
AEWCW.
Yeah, I mean, who else? The Imposter Sting. You can't remember the Imposter Sting because that started a whole new storyline. But you know something, Fanboy Dave? If you really think about it, at that time, NWO was all WCW had. An argument could be made for the Cruiserweight division because Cruiserweight division was fire. WWE did not have the Luchadors and things like that. And their matches were straight fire. Straight up, right?
Well, yeah, because WWE was about the big, strong, muscular
right.
wrestlers. Like Vince wasn't looking at no
exactly.
Cruiserweight.
Exactly. So an argument could definitely be made for the Cruiserweight division and stuff like that. But at the time, all WCW had going was NWO. People were tuning into the show Monday Night Nitro to watch the NWO and what they were going to do next. Who were they going to beat up? Who was going to try to step up to the NWO? That seemed to happen each and every time. And the thing is, apologize for that. And the thing is, WWE at the time had much more going for it. If you remember, you didn't just have DX.
DX was just the main staple, but you had other wrestlers in WWE that were still making an impact in the Monday Night Wars.
Correct. You had The Rock. Well, and at the time, The Rock was in the Nation of Domination. So that was a faction that was on fire at the time, right? So you had the Nation of Domination, Stone Cold Steve Austin. You still got The Undertaker, right, going on at this point. And I think at this point, by this point, we already had Kane in the picture.
That's right.
You know, so there's still so much that WWE has at the time that is
that would make DX stale.
Exactly. Exactly. And that was the problem with NWO. It started to get stale. It started to be the same old crap, just different week.
When I think that's why they made NWO Red.
Right.
Down the road.
Down the road. Correct. Correct. So now here, now we're going.
Or the Wolfpack, I mean.
Yeah. And now we're going into that here. We're going to go into that after the break. But let me set it up a little bit, because there's an evolution that happens in both factions, right? We see NWO start kind of breaking off. Now, arguments again can be made for LWO and crap like that, but we're not going to touch that, right? We're going to stick with NWO. So NWO branches off, and now we've got...
Well, they had to, because like you said, it was getting stale. So
right.
Now Hulk Hogan is the leader of the NWO, black and white, and they had to get some division between the founding members with Kevin right. Nash and Scott Hall.
Right, right. You know? And the thing was, is that staleness was coming, because by this point in time, the main thing, the main rivalry that was going on, what carried WCW for the next, a year and a half to two maybe, was the feud between NWO and Sting.
Yeah.
Sting was the franchise for WCW. All of a sudden, Sting comes out. He's wearing crow-like makeup. This is before he painted the full face, right? It was just the normal design like he would normally have, but it was a crow-like makeup. For those of you that don't know what the crow is, Google it. It's a movie. Basically, he's got the white face with the black eyeliner.
Well, yeah, because he came out and did that interview.
Exactly.
When he was basically like a free agent. The right. sure thing about Sting is...
It's nothing's for sure. Exactly. And after that promo, we didn't hear from Sting for a year.
Yeah.
He didn't talk. And that is what was awesome, is that he...
He said so much without saying...
Exactly.
Nothing.
Is that storytelling. Storytelling. That is what's wrong with pro wrestling right now, but that's a whole other podcast. So for a year, he's not talking, but there is this obvious feud going on between him and Hulk Hogan, a.k.a. NWO, because it was really all of them, right? And so that feud is what carried him, whereas in WWE, it wasn't just DX and, you know, the Authority or management or whatever you want to call it, but you have all these other feuds that are going on as well. You know, Stone Cold and Vince McMahon and, you know, keep in mind also during this time, we're looking at the Montreal Screwjob. Happens right. around this time as well, which causes a lot of controversy, which, let's be real, Eric Bischoff said it himself, controversy creates cash.
That's a good book, by the way. I still have it.
Yeah. More eyes went to WWE at the time because of what happened with Bret Hart. Bro, at this point in time, the best heel of all time is born in Mr. McMahon. So then we got the feud with Stone Cold and Mr. McMahon at the same time that this is happening. There's just so much going on. It's, to me, it's not even a guess as to why WWE pulled out in front eventually. But as we go into break, this, and when we come back, we're going to talk about now the evolution. We're going to talk about what happened on the NWO side and also what happened on the DX side, because both... very interesting, to say the least. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk more about NWO and D-Generation X. Fellas, I know how it is. Your hair and beard are looking rough, and you need to get it taken care of right away. The problem is, where do you go? Say no more, because I have the perfect place for you. At Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, you'll get that fresh cut and trim by well-trained professionals who know just how to get what you want, a man's cut and a man's trim. Dallas and Juwan will hook you up with your tailor-to-you cut and beard trim, along with a straight razor shave and a relaxing hot towel treatment. These fellas will give you that old-school treatment where you sit back, relax, and unwind while you get back to looking like a gentleman should. When you walk in the door, talk to old Dal and let him know that the Brothers of Discussion sent you, and he'll offer you a complimentary cold one or a shot of whiskey. Stop by 322 West Hopkins Street in San Marcos, Texas, or you can go online and make your appointment today at hanleysbarbershop.com. Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, where good times and good vibes make for a great look.
We'll be right back.
talking about NWO and DX. And we're also, you know, by the end of this podcast, we're going to basically say ourselves who we think is the better faction. And, you know, I think right now what we're doing, too, is we're kind of giving our reasons why already. And to be honest, we've kind of already said who we think is better. But, you know, maybe you don't agree with us. Maybe you disagree. And if you do, that's great. We want to hear about it. Go to our social medias on Twitter. Go to our Facebook page, Instagram. Let us know, because we want to definitely hear your feedback. So
what if they tell us they got two words for us?
Oh, careful when you do that. So let's start with NWO, right? We're talking Evolution now. So we've gone on. It's been probably about a good year for both factions and everything. But now change is in the horizon, okay? So we'll start with NWO. A change began to happen in NWO. The whole Sting thing was already done, pretty much. Hulk Hogan lost to Sting and all that stuff happened. They tried to extend it a little bit, but, you know, it's still getting kind of stale. So now all of a sudden, Kevin Nash starts to disagree with Hogan. He breaks away, and now we have NWO Red and Black, or is better known as NWO Wolfpack. The original members of NWO Wolfpack were Kevin Nash, yep, Sting, Lex Luger, and I don't know if y'all remember this, but during the break, Fanboy Dave had to remind me.
Of course I did.
Yeah. Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah, about the Red and Black, the Wolfpack. Yeah, because it can get intense. Yeah. So that's Macho Man. But there was also another member, probably my favorite member, and that is Conan. Let me speak on this. Orale arriba la raza. That's right.
He was the Scott Hall of the Black and Red.
Yeah, he was. Conan was great, man. I loved Conan.
Well, they came out to his rap song, right?
Yeah, that doom 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 doom. Yeah, oh yeah, I remember that, and that was awesome. Who knows? Maybe I'll put that music in the break somewhere. I don't know. Ooh. We'll see. But so, which one did you like better, Black and White or Red and Black?
Oh, Red and Black, man.
Yeah,
because you had the Wolfpack sign.
Yeah, that's when that came out. That was actually. Let's be real. That actually came from the Click.
It did.
Yeah, because that was the Turkish Wolf. Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Sean Waltman, X-Pac, right?
Yep.
They all did that together, but they brought it over into WCW.
Do you remember that Monday night? Oh, no, sorry. WCW episode where Kevin Nash said, "Hey, Sean,"
and right back at you, HBK. Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah, I remember that. And I was like, I can't believe they just did that. Yeah, I remember. So now we got the cool hand sign for NWO. Of course, by this point in time, everybody's been doing crotch chops for like a year. So
yeah, that never gets old, though.
No, it never does. It never does. So now you got two different sides of the NWO to choose from. And let's be real, because of the Black and White getting so stale, I really think that the Red and Black gained so much momentum because it was fresh. It was still NWO, but it was new. They had a different theme music. The black one was always that guitar, wah, 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 whatever it was. But with NWO, they had that cool hip-hop whole, you know.
And you knew when they were coming out because you hear the wolf.
Yep, you're right.
That shirt was mean with that wolf on it.
Yes, it was. It was a cool shirt. So that's the evolution that was happening at the time with NWO. And again, we still go back to what we said before. There was still that whole thing with so many freaking members that were in the NWO Black and White. You know, I just thought about this, Fanboy Dave. There was a time in the whole storyline of the NWO where I think Macho Man had gone back to Black and White and Hulk Hogan came over to Red and Black.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Yeah, which was weird to me. Made no sense. I think by that time,
there's a lot of things that make sense at WCW.
Yeah. You remember the Yeti? Oh, dear God. Anyway, that's a whole other story. So at that point in time, for me personally, I remember I wasn't watching WCW as much as I was WWE anymore. Because by this point, WWE is on fire with DX, Stone Cold. I mean, so, so on fire. But let's now switch over to DX, because DX now is going through a transition. We're talking WrestleMania. I should have looked this up. Maybe you can look it up real quick. I don't know if you have a computer on you. But Shawn Michaels versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. WrestleMania for the title. You have the special ring enforcer of Mike Tyson.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. At this point in time, Shawn is in bad, bad shape.
Well, yeah, it was because of the match with The Undertaker and the casket match. Yes. And when he got flipped over.
Yes. That didn't look like it was that bad.
Yeah, but it miscalculated and hit his back.
Yeah. And he couldn't move the next day, and his back was shot. So because of that, Shawn Michaels gets the diagnosis that basically he can't really even wrestle anymore, is what the doctors
are saying. WrestleMania 14.
14. What was the date on that?
What was that date?
Because that was a long time ago. That was when the Stone Cold era came in. But yes, so go back and watch. You know what? Maybe we'll do one of these days, we'll do a watch along of that match, and you guys can join us on the podcast. Because that match was an awesome match. To be honest with you, any match that Shawn Michaels does is epic, in my opinion.
Oh, that date was March 29th, 1998.
There you go. So it 1998.
Was in Boston, Massachusetts.
So in 1998. So Shawn Michaels is wrestling this match. Go back and watch it. I'm telling you. When you watch it and know now how much pain Shawn was in, it makes it so different when you watch it now, because you just see the pain in his face.
Oh, he grimaces
a lot. Oh, yeah. And you can just see that he's struggling for sure.
But he's still giving it his all.
Dang, yes. That's why they call him Mr. WrestleMania, because he's still put on one hell of a show. Put Stone Cold over to the moon, you know? I mean, Shawn... The argument can be made, and I have to kind of agree with you, and that's that Shawn Michaels may very well be the best in the business. I don't know anyone else that can tell a story like that man can. Maybe Triple H, but even then, Shawn is better, in my opinion. So,
yeah, I would think Triple H would say Shawn is hands down the best.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's said it. He said it before in interviews. He feels that Shawn is
with anything, and not to get off DX versus NWO, but if you want to see a wrestling match, you need to go see WrestleMania 25, Shawn Michaels against The Undertaker. That's the most perfect match of all time.
I will agree with you on that one. Best match.
Still get goosebumps when you watch it.
I never get tired of seeing that match. Never. Even knowing the outcome already, I still never get tired of seeing that match. That match is phenomenal. Phenomenal. So, the end of this match at WrestleMania, Stone Cold, of course, is now the champion. Shawn Michaels is done.
Yeah.
At this point, they're not even sure he's ever going to come back. So Shawn is pretty much done. So he's gone. So the very next day, we have Raw. So now what? Well, they kick off Raw. Triple H cuts the promo of his life.
Is that when X-Pac came back? Or no?
No, not yet. Not yet. But Triple H cut the promo of his life. This was that career-changing promo. Let's rewind a little bit, okay? We got to remember that before this time, Triple H was in the doghouse.
Oh, yes.
He was in the doghouse for a long time because of the curtain call. That'll be a whole other topic, I'm sure. But a curtain call is basically what many wrestling enthusiasts would say the day that kayfabe died, you know. So because of that, Vince had to punish someone. He couldn't punish Shawn Michaels, because Shawn Michaels was a champion. He couldn't punish
Kevin Nash,
exactly, because they're gone. The only one left was Triple H. So Triple H was in the doghouse for a long time.
Yeah, because he was supposed to win King of the Ring.
He was, and Stone Cold did. It's crazy, isn't it? How if things would have been different, we might not have the Attitude Era. It's insane. It's awesome. Yeah. So by this point now, Triple H basically has been given the ball and said, all right,
run with it.
Run it. And he knocked it out of the park. So now we're talking a new D-Generation X. It's not just DX anymore. It's now the DX Army, okay? So with that comes new members. So over on the NWO side, NWO Black and White, we had Six, they called him.
Right.
Shawn Waltman, right? Stuff happens. Shawn Waltman's not really doing much in NWO. He's kind of on the sidelines. Next thing you know, one Monday night on Raw, Triple H comes out and says, when you start to form an army, you start with the family. You start with the clique. Does the point to the end of the ramp. The music hits. Who comes out?
X-Pac.
X-Pac, formerly known as Six. And X-Pac cuts a promo directed solely at Eric Bischoff on WWE television.
And Hulk Hogan.
And Hulk Hogan. Man, at this point, the battle lines have been just blurred, basically at this point. And I'm talking, that had people changing the channel like that, quick as crazy. Now, did you watch that episode of Raw?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember watching Nitro at all that day?
No, I do not.
And that's exactly my point. At that particular time when that happened, I wasn't interested in WCW. It was getting real over on WWE. So you had X-Pac, China, Triple H. All of a sudden, there's a new tag team making their mark.
Oh, you didn't know?
No.
You gotta say the word since I don't.
Your ass better call somebody. That's right. The New Age Outlaws were on the scene.
Yep. Road Dogg and Billy Gunn.
Yeah. Now, before Sean left, though, they had already started making their mark. Because if you remember that one episode of Raw, you had the New Age Outlaws, and they were going against Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie.
Oh, the Terry Funk.
Yep, exactly.
Man, Chainsaw Charlie.
The Funker.
That's it. That dude's still alive.
Yeah, I know. I'm still shocked by that. So the big, I'll never forget it. Basically, it was Cactus Jack, Chainsaw Charlie get locked in a dumpster.
It was a dumpster, yeah.
And the New Age Outlaws pushed them off the stage. And they did such an awesome job of making it look like it was the most horrible thing that could happen.
Like, you can't do their own, they're injured.
Exactly. And then not only that, if you remember, the camera pans to the New Age Outlaws, and even they have that look on their face like, oh, crap, what do we do? I remember it so clearly. Then the backstage segment came, and Shawn Michaels got in their face and basically said, that's what you got to do. You got to, you know, make a name for yourself, blah, 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 whatever, right? And I could be getting the whole succession of events kind of skewed, but that was what happened on that episode. And then that was how they made their impact. Shawn is now gone. So Triple H gets
the New Age Outlaws. He's the new leader.
He's a new leader, and he's now recruited the New Age Outlaws. So now we got the New Age Outlaws, we got X-Pac, we got China, and we got Triple H. This is now the DX Army, right? And it brings a whole different, I mean, they revamped DX completely. Before, you'd have the music hit, you'd have Shawn come out with Triple H, they do the crotch chops in the ring, the lights go into the X or the rockets or whatever they were.
The pyro, it's called pyro.
Whatever, pyro. Now, you got them coming out, and right after they do the pyro, then you got Triple H on the mic, or actually it was the New Age Outlaws first that came on the mic and did their whole shtick and said their whole thing. Do you remember it?
Go ahead. I'll let you say it.
I don't remember the beginning.
You do not remember.
I remember the gist of what he said, but I don't remember how he started it. Was it, oh, you didn't know?
No, that was
when they walked out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do remember.
See?
Yeah, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Children of all ages. DX,
or D-Generation X,
proudly brings to you its WWF Tag Team Champions of the World, the Road Dogg, Jesse James, the Badass, Billy Gunn, the New Age Outlaws. Did I get it right?
You got it right.
Awesome, awesome.
You get 2 points.
Thank you. All right. And then right after that, they'd hand the mic off to Triple H, and Triple H would say, are you ready? And the crowd would go nuts. And he said, no.
I said, are you ready?
That's it.
Then, for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, let's get ready to suck it.
That's it. And then they'd give the mic to Billy Gunn, and he'd say, and if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Suck it.
There you go.
So
big differences. And here's the thing. They got it, man. When you get the crowd into it like that, when you involve the crowd, they eat that stuff up.
Well, not only that, the difference between the two DXs was that Shawn talked the majority of the time.
Very good point.
And in the Army, the Degeneration X, you know, Triple H would get it last, but he would let the New Age Outlaws start off.
They were all good talkers. All of them could cut good promos.
Oh, Jesse James was good.
Man, he's one of the best. And I think that's where, again, the argument to who's the better faction has to go to DX, because the strength just in the promos alone.
Well, yeah, the wrestlers were evolving versus the NWO. Beat you up. Mm-hmm. Hogan talks, beat you up. And
yeah,
that's it.
Even to the point, like, tell me what you think about this, right? A lot of times Nash and Hall would talk on the mic. But especially with Nash, it always seemed like it was kind of half-assed. Like, he wasn't really serious when he would cut his promos.
Well, when you have contracts that are guaranteed contracts, if you don't feel like going to work,
you phone it in. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm still getting paid.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, just to say, I love Kevin Nash, but
right.
He was a smart businessman. He already had the money. So yeah. If he was having a bad day,
man, yeah,
that's what you got.
Yeah. Just a side note. This is a memory I'll forever have.
Did he point at you again?
No, not that. Smart ass. So you remember the WrestleMania in Dallas. We were both there, and we both attended the WrestleCon. I guess it was the day before or whatever it was.
WrestleMania 25?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that was it, right? In Dallas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. No, WrestleMania 25.
No, I'm talking about the WrestleMania in Dallas when I was there. We saw each other at WrestleCon.
Oh, that was WrestleMania 32.
There you go.
Sorry.
No, that's cool.
We were there. We didn't go together.
No, but we were there.
Got it, yeah. I had floor seats. Where were you at?
Yeah, I was way the hell up there.
That's right. Did you get a chair like I did?
No, I didn't get a chair did. Right. What did you do with those chairs?
I haven't. Do you sit on it?
Maybe next week.
All right, we'll see.
But I remember the WrestleCon? It was an awesome event.
Yeah, I mean, was staying at the hotel where the wrestlers were at.
Lucky you, man.
Of course.
You know how to do it. I got to give it to Fanboy Dave. He knows how to do it right. When he's going to go to a WrestleMania event, he's going to do it right.
That's when I saw Victoria, and she was one of my favorites. And, you know, she was talking. I said, hey, let me buy you a drink. And she's like, all right, we'll come back. And, you know, but she didn't come back. But
hey, you shot your shot, right?
Hey, that's it.
So anyway, Kevin Nash was there, as you know. And he was doing the whole signing autographs, taking pictures and stuff. So I got to talk to him, and I got to say to him how the Attitude Era was my favorite, and I was an NWO fan, and how I told him how I thought it was awesome just how he was able to, get the money he got back then. He made this comment, and I didn't think about it until he said it, and he... So here's what he said. He said, he goes, the only thing is I wish these young up-and-comers that are there now would realize and maybe give us a little bit of a thank you for what they have now. And I remember I asked him, I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, now when anybody gets a contract in WWE, it's a guaranteed contract. And that's because of what we did.
So he paved the way.
Exactly. And I was just like, I didn't think about that. I was like, oh, he's right. Because of what they did, because at the time, WCW was giving guaranteed contracts.
That's why a lot of WWE superstars were jumping ship.
Right. And like you said, guaranteed money, why are you going to, you know, bust your butt, really, if you're already getting that money anyway? You're getting paid just to be there.
Well, not to say that Kevin Nash didn't bust his butt.
No, not at all.
You know, he might have had an off day and he's like, this will do.
Exactly. So they definitely paved the way for the stars now that are getting the money that they get, which is amazing. I mean, definitely a trailblazer for sure. So going back to the topic at hand, you've got great talkers in everyone in DX, but in NWO, not so much. A lot of faces, but not a lot of good talkers. And let's be honest, once you've heard one Hulk Hogan promo, you've pretty much heard them all. You know, he could talk a lot of smack, but it always was the same thing. He always ended it the same way. You know, no matter what it was or who he was talking to, it was the same thing.
Because it was NWO for life.
Yeah, that was the only difference. But it was still the, what you gonna do, brother, when the NWO, you know, I mean, it was the same.
And Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Exactly. It was the same thing every single time. And that got stale in itself, you know. Whereas with DX, like we were just saying, everybody could talk in that faction. I mean, they definitely made it must-see TV.
Oh, for sure, and they're funny. I mean, I know you touched on it earlier in the first segment, but that feud with the Nation of Domination, where they all dressed up.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah. Couldn't be done today, though.
Oh, no, 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 no.
There's no way.
No, cancel culture. That's no, what that would
no.
be.
No, I mean, because let's be real, man. X-Pac was in blackface.
Yeah.
Straight up blackface.
He was.
He was. And Mark Henry had no problem with it.
Yeah.
You know, which was awesome. Mizark, right? That's what it said.
Yes, it did say that.
Mizark. Yeah. And the crap jokes, you know, you could smell what The Rock was cooking mm-hmm. after he got out of the bathroom, whatever it was he said. I mean, it was such good TV, such good comedy. They were still pushing the envelope. But they, Fanboy Day, we can't forget the big, big thing that happened with that that DX lineup. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about the invasion?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I am.
That is a good, good. Yes, I remember. See, I'm excited. I can't even speak right now.
That was so just never been done before.
That was ballsy.
Very, very. I mean, imagine going, not knowing what the outcome's going to be. And you guys, if you don't have the network, the WWE Network, I highly recommend getting it because some of these documentaries.
It's on Peacock.
It's on Peacock. Some of these documentaries where they talk about what happened behind the scenes, so fascinating. So on one of those documentaries, Kevin Nash, I believe, talked about how he told him to open the door.
Well, yeah, but because I remember that it was either it wasn't a veneer videos, but WCW was giving away free tickets.
Yes, because nobody wanted to pay for them full price.
Is that what AEWCW does now too?
No, it's not. Actually, people do pay money for those tickets because they're good tickets. By the way, I was good that day because AEW didn't come on till Friday. Hmm. Yeah, that's why I'm good this week too because they don't come on till Saturday.
Okay, let's stick to DX and NWO.
You want to come over Saturday and watch?
No.
Great match.
So, yes, and they had the tank, remember?
Kenny Omega and Jungle Boy.
Jungle Boy? Seriously?
Seriously.
Jungle Boy is
a he's Baloo, great.
Is Baloo going to come out too and sing the Bare Necessities? Jungle Boy? Oh, my God.
No, but he's with the Jurassic Express. Jungle Boy. He's got Luchasaurus as his partner.
Luchasaurus?
Yeah. He's a guy that comes out in a dinosaur mask.
Oh, my
God. Long hair. Great wrestler.
And you calling this good wrestling?
Yes.
What's great. With a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
It's entertaining. No, Luchasaurus.
Oh.
Luchasaurus. You got to remember that. It's Luchasaurus.
Well, I don't want to talk about Luchasaurus, Tyrannosaurus, whatever.
Your sister's assosaurus.
Yeah. Let's talk about the tank.
That was a big shout out there to Bully Ray. He says that on Busted Open whenever he's going through random stuff. He always goes, "He's sister's ass." I just had to say it. No, hey, Bully Ray, I love you. That's just a shout out. That's all. Anyway, let's go back to the topic. Yes, DX.
The tank.
That was
because
funny stuff.
Yeah, because WWE was what, like 30 miles away from?
Yeah, it wasn't that far at all. I think it was like in just the next town over, right, which was just a few minutes down the road. And when they got there, if I remember the footage correctly, they were even in like the offices, I guess. I guess they must have been in, I don't know, Georgia or something.
Oh, that's right. It was because that's where WCW's from, Georgia.
Yeah, exactly. So I remember they were in the office.
Atlanta, Georgia.
And they were interviewing fans, and they asked the fans, "How much did you pay for these tickets?" And he said, "I got them for free."
Yeah, and they're like, "Because WCW sucks."
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, then they were doing the crotch chops and everything. It was awesome, amazing television. And let's be real, there was no way WCW could come back for that. So what did Eric Bischoff do? Challenge Vince McMahon to a fight?
Well, yeah, but even before that, but you think about it, and even I think Eric Bischoff says in the interview, because DX takes that tank all the way down to the entrance.
They do.
Where the vehicles come in, and Road Dogg's like, "You."
Yep, knocking on the door.
Yeah.
As they're driving, the door's coming down, like they almost got in.
But you think about it, if Eric Bischoff did that, everybody would have switched over to watch WCW.
He missed a great opportunity for sure. For sure. Everybody would have
been probably like, "Thanks, Vince."
Yeah, yeah. That was, I mean, like you said at the beginning, man, it was ballsy. It was definitely a risk, but it definitely shook things up for sure, you know? So, I mean, they took it to another level. By this point in time, though, I think the lines had already been drawn as far as, you know, WCW and WWE. And WWE was definitely winning in the ratings battle.
Well, I think the thing whenever they start winning is the whole, and it's another story, but the line whenever, because Eric Bischoff was a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, giving out WWE's recorded events, outcomes.
Yes, yes. And
good old Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, that's the most famous one.
When Mick Foley, mm-hmm. or at that time, Mankind was going to beat The Rock and win the WWE title.
Right, exactly. And what happened? He gave it away, and then he made the comment, yeah, that's going to put butts in the seats. And
it sure did. Everybody flipped over, and then that's when the war was won. And like they say, the rest was history. After that, WWE no longer lost in the ratings.
Yeah, and then not too long after that, WWE, to quote Vince McMahon, bought my competition.
You got to grab your competition by the throat.
Yep, that's right. That's what he said. And everybody knows the outcome. WWE won the Monday Night Wars. And like you said, the rest is history. So we're going to take another break. But when we come back, we're going to definitely make our...
Well, no, we still got to talk about...
Go ahead.
WrestleMania. I don't remember it, but I'll get the date. But DX versus NWO. I mean, yeah, we finally got it.
Right, right, right. You know, that takes us into the next part of what we're about to talk about. Right,
so we'll talk about that.
Yeah, but we definitely want to bring that up. Well, I'll wait till we come back to say what it is I'm going to say about that, because that was an interesting match, to say the least, for sure. Keep it here. We'll be right back right after this message from one of our sponsors. Going on 10 years in the community, Metroflex Gym has been the place for back-to-basics, no-fluff training. At Metroflex, you'll have the resources available to you to reach your fitness goals, whatever they may be. Owners Daniel Haggerty and David Wheat are available and ready to help guide you in the proper direction to get the best results for your health. Want to lose weight, increase stamina, or gain mass? Daniel Haggerty is a licensed trainer with over 25 years experience in nutrition and training and how to get the most out of your workouts. Come by today for a visit at 2101 Clovis Barker Road, San Marcos, Texas, or call to make an appointment for a tour at 512-878-8575. Homegrown in the community and veteran owned, Metroflex Gym is the hardcore training place for a hardcore workout. Call today. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. That music break you just heard last week, I did a real quick, wanted to show you guys a new up and coming band called Relent, and I played a little bit of their song called Ghost. I hope you checked them out. Good stuff. That was the music that we came back with on the last segment on last week's show. This week's show, yeah, I'm gonna be honest, I got a little selfish. That music you heard was from a band called Stop the Sun. That's a band that I'm in and I play drums in. That's our latest single that's called This Side of Heaven. I'm very proud of it. I hope you guys liked it. Please go. Our music is on Spotify. Check it out for yourself, okay? Hey, if you have any bands that you maybe would like us to showcase, we love music. We wouldn't mind checking it out and maybe putting it a little excerpt of it on the show as well. Feel free to shoot us an email and let us know, and we'd be more than happy to listen to it for you. But let's get back to what we're talking about. We are talking about factions, the two main factions that everybody knows. I think even people that wouldn't consider themselves wrestling fans have heard of these factions. Those factions are D-Generation X and the NWO. Now, we've been talking history. We've been talking about evolution. We now come to the culmination where pretty much this thing kind of ends, and it's which WrestleMania is it there, Fanboy Dave?
WrestleMania 31.
The match is in between Triple H and Sting. And during the match, Sting and Triple H are going back and forth, and then we have some, I wouldn't call it outside interference right away, but we had some visitors come to the ring. Who came first? Do you remember? I want to say it was DX.
Yeah, it was Billy Gunn, X-Pac, Road Dogg.
And Shawn Michaels, didn't he come out too? He was there. Yeah.
I don't think he got involved.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Man, I'm getting old.
Yeah, you need to go back and watch that. So we had DX come out first. And then I believe they started to kind of get involved. And all of a sudden, who starts coming to the ring?
The NWO.
The NWO. You got Kevin Nash. You got Scott Hall. And you got Hulk Hogan. Hollywood Hulk Hogan making their way to the ring. So now we've got both factions.
Yeah, I think you... No, but I don't see Shawn Michaels.
I remember him there, bro.
He might have been there, but I don't think he got involved.
I'm going to have to go back and look, too. We'll have that answer for you next week. But so now we got both factions face to face. And I don't know. I think because of the outcome of the match, we know who won. But to be fair, we are in Vince McMahon's world at this point. You know what I mean? And I really don't think Vince McMahon had any intentions of letting anything WCW get over.
Well, that's not true because we didn't talk about this. But remember when he was going through his psychotic thing, he said he had to kill his creation.
Right.
And then he said, me and the NWO. But then that's when I think Kevin Nash injured his knee.
Yes.
Or something. So the whole... storyline, they couldn't do anything with it.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I think he was trying to create something, but we'll never know.
Yeah, because of the unfortunate events that happened with Kevin Nash. I think you're right. That is a good point. But I still think the argument can be made that Vince McMahon really kind of has... And don't get me wrong, I completely understand if this is the case, but I think Vince McMahon is just not interested in getting anything that's technically WCW over. Now, granted, there are certain performers that have gotten over, but
like Booker T.
Well, I was going to say, but by that point, Booker T was full on WWE, even though he came from WCW. You know what I'm saying? But Sting was an icon. Sting, when you look at Sting, you think WCW, that's it. Booker T, there could be an argument made that when you look at Booker T, you're not really thinking of WCW. You're thinking more of like King Booker is more what you're thinking of than anything else.
Well, yeah, because when you think of Booker T in WCW, you think of Harlem Heat.
Right.
Not and, Booker T
right.
as a singles wrestler.
Exactly. He wasn't singles until he came to WWE.
Well, I think he owned his craft in WWE.
Heck yeah. For sure.
And it's King Booker.
Yeah, thank you.
That's how you do it.
Got it. You still can't beat my Macho Man, though.
I cannot. Let me try, brother. Can't do it.
No, can't do it. You know, because in order to be to do the Macho Man voice, you got to be the cream of the crop. Yeah, that's a cream. The very top is where it rises. Yeah. You got to do the whole thing where you move your glasses, too. You got to get into the character.
Oh, there you
so,
go.
Yeah, but anyway. So at this point in time, I think we've made a pretty good argument, in my opinion, DX... By
hands
a
down.
Long shot,
hands down,
is the way better faction than NWO. Don't get me wrong. NWO definitely got the ball rolling, for sure. But at the end of the day, it's DX all day.
Yeah, I would say NWO shot the first shot.
For sure. Now, what do you think about what I asked earlier, though? If there was no NWO, do you think there would have been a DX?
I don't know.
Because... Let's say there wasn't an NWO. There was still a feud going on with Shawn and with Bret Hart. Maybe it could have still evolved into that. It's possible. Because if you think about it, there was nothing directly done on the DX side of things that was at least putting it out there saying, well, we need something to kind of go up against NWO.
Yeah, but if you look at some of like the interviews, you know, The Undertaker... I'd said, like, they were getting their ass kicked. So when everybody was out doing the wrestling. Oh, I did. I apologize. I am sorry. But that they went out there every night to put the best show they could on because, right. You know, they were losing,
yeah.
You know, the yeah. Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing, too, about DX, the argument, again, that I think is in our favor because you and I both believe that DX is the superior faction. When DX came back, we didn't even talk about that. DX comes back. It's a whole different DX, right? It's a more mature DX, if you will. Keep in mind, Shawn Michaels at this point is a Christian. And there's a lot of stuff that goes alongside with DX that he didn't want to be part of.
Yeah, that he wouldn't do because of his faith.
But they did it so brilliantly. Oh my God, my favorite one to this day. My favorite one is when they're outside, they're having that barbecue. Remember?
Oh yes.
And Triple H tells Sean, "Look, Sean, isn't that Mr. Fuji?" And Sean goes, "Oh, I love Mr. Fuji," and runs off camera. And then next thing you know, he shows the girls, and the girls flash the other guy that's there. And then when they're done, Sean comes back. That wasn't Mr. Fuji. Yeah. I mean, they did it. I got to give WWE credit. Yeah. So subtly.
Because they were respecting Shawn Michaels' religious
exactly.
beliefs.
Exactly.
And they didn't want to make him uncomfortable.
Exactly. They did a great job with that. And an argument can be made that that version of DX was funnier than the first version. And the crazy thing about it is that version of DX was just Shawn and Triple H.
Oh, yeah. Shawn and Triple H are gold.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
My favorite DX moment is when they were doing the whole thing where they... Now, was it them that did it or was it a fan that put the DX on the WWE corporate office?
No, it was them.
Oh, but that's amazing. Like, your boss is going to let you put that so people can see it from the highway?
Right.
Like,
right.
That's pretty cool.
It was very cool. And I still remember, man, when they hooked back up. Dude, I was watching that episode of Raw from the living room of where I was staying at the time. Bro, I jumped off my seat when they did the whole DX high five thing.
Oh, yes.
Like, come on, man. I mean, to get you that excited that you're in your own house and you jump up off of your seat, I mean, that right there is good storytelling. That's good TV, good pro wrestling TV for sure.
And I know you don't watch a lot of sports, and we're not trying to talk about other sports on this, but
right.
I don't know if you noticed to see how DX still to this day is making an impact. So Joel Embiid, do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Well, he plays for the 76ers. Well, in their second round, Triple H comes out.
I heard about that.
And him and Joel Embiid do the DX chop, you know, wow. at the beginning of the pregame.
Yeah.
So that just proves to me that we're in 2021.
Yeah.
And they asked Triple H to come out with Joel Embiid to do DX.
And they're still they're still making an impact to this day. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something. And you don't really see them doing that with NWO. Now, I will say this. You go to a wrestling show, you're going to find at least one person with an NWO shirt.
Well, I'm sure you can still buy NWO merch on WWEshop.com.
Yeah, yeah. So
as long as DX merchandise as well, too.
Right. So granted, you still see that, but it's not as prevalent as like DX is now. I mean, you're right about that for sure.
Yeah, I have DX dog tags.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Now, having said that, and I think this is a good way to kind of put a nice little bow on this whole conversation, both factions are WWE Hall of Famers.
Yes.
Both of them. And I do want to say this, and this kind of what will bring us to what our next topic is going to be. I'm shooting for next week, but it's really going to depend on whether or not Fanboy Dave has enough time to look at a documentary.
I'm a busy man.
He is a busy man. He really is. So in the Hall of Fame induction for DX, China was finally included. And there has been arguments made that she should be in the Hall of Fame, which we'll talk about at a later time. Everybody has their own opinions. But just to speak on this part of it.
Yeah, she was DX.
Exactly. I mean, she was a huge, huge part of it. And I don't know. I was very happy to see that she got inducted with the rest of DX. How about that acceptance speech, though? That was hilarious. Yeah. Do you remember it?
I don't remember word for word, but...
Do you remember the Triple H with the glasses making fun of Shawn Michaels?
Yes. I mean, because Shawn can't really see anymore, so, you
and
know.
He's got one eye going.
Hey, that's just what happens, I guess, with old age.
I guess, but I'm sorry, it was just hilarious. If you have the WWE Network on Peacock, go back and watch that, because it's pretty funny. Fanboy Day, before we call it for this evening, I've asked you this question before many years ago. It's been a few years since this happened, but tell our fans, you got to meet the great Shawn Michaels, didn't you?
I sure did.
Tell us about the experience.
Well, I can't say where I worked.
You don't have to say where you were at. Just it was at a place that you worked.
It was a place that I work at where they sell
stuff. That he likes?
Stuff that he likes.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah. You know.
That's how you say it.
There you go.
And you just happened to see him shopping? I mean, how did it come about?
Well, I'll give him a little bit more.
Okay.
They sell fishing gear.
Yeah.
Firearms.
Yeah.
Footwear. One of those stores.
Okay.
You know?
So what happened?
And a lot of people, if they follow Shawn Michaels, they know he's a big hunter.
Right.
And I was working and
So you're saying he's a big hunter. I see what you did there.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a big hunter. Got it. Yeah.
And he came to one of the departments and I saw him and I saw my coworker. I was like, hey, can you take a picture with me and Sean? He's like, who's this guy? He's the greatest wrestler of all time. And oddly enough, we're about the same height. He's just a lot more athletic than I am.
Yeah, right.
You know, but no, it was cool. You know, we talked a little bit. Had my DX lanyard on because I always wore it at work.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because I'm Fanboy Dave, WWE.
Yeah. So he knew you were a fan just by that, right?
Yeah,
there.
But like I said, we talked a little bit about wrestling, but talked a little bit about fishing because, you know, I'm
that's
sure
that's what he was there for.
Yeah. So, you know, helped him out with some lures or, you know, some stuff like that. Gave his family some fish food so they could feed the fish. So.
Nice. Oh, yeah. So he was there with his family.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So. That's cool. So he was pretty down-to-earth guy.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't a bit like, what's the word I'm looking for? Irritated or anything?
No, because, I mean, after that, like I said, talked about what he needed and, you know, get him in and say, hey, if you need anything else or blah, 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 we'll take care of you, you know?
Awesome. So. That's awesome. I'm very jealous of you, by the way, for that, because he's one of the wrestlers that I really would want to meet.
You mean you haven't met him yet?
I haven't met him yet. I have not met him yet, and it's...
Has he tweeted you? He tweeted me.
I know
he tweeted you. Well, not on my Fanboy page, but...
But on your personal,
my
yeah.
My personal page,
I know.
Yeah.
Nope. Closest thing I ever got as far as, like, social media stuff is John Cena following our Twitter page. That's the closest I've gotten to.
Well, maybe you'll meet him one day.
Maybe. I have met a few wrestlers. I will say that. I've met a Million Dollar Man. Ted DiBiase.
Can you do his laugh?
Yeah.
No. It's terrible.
Can you do it?
No.
I got to hear him do his laugh. He signed. I have an action figure that he signed.
And, nice.
I will say this about the man. As you know, he's up there in age, of course. He's been retired for a long time. He was telling me a story about... Remember, everybody knows the story about the kid that came in and or did the basketball, and then he kicked it out of the way. He was saying he ended up giving the kid the money. The kid didn't just not get the money; he got the money.
But for TV,
he didn't get the money, right? And he says he ran into that kid one day. The kid apparently was working for a car rental place where he was, and he goes, "You remember me?" And he was like, "No." He goes, "You kicked the basketball out of my hand," and he got so scared because the kid was like really tall now and really big, you know. And so as he's talking to me, he's getting real comfortable talking, and he's like, yeah, so I told that kid and I was so happy to see him. I said, boy, and he slaps me on the chest as he's talking to me. Brother, my soul left my body. I mean, that old man still can, you know what I'm saying? And that was just a friendly tap. That wasn't something in wrestling, and I was just like, He's still got that kind of power now.
These wrestlers, they still know how to hit.
Yeah. One of my favorite wrestlers I've met is the great Ivan Putski, because he used to work at the school that you and I graduated from. He was a teacher there.
The Polish Power.
Yep, the Polish Power, Ivan Putski. So there's been a few wrestlers that I've met throughout the years. But I think we're about ready to call it a day. That's definitely our show. We want to thank you guys so much for tuning into the show.
And the winner is DX.
That's right. The winner is DX by a long shot. By a long shot, in my opinion. Fanboy Dave, I know you have your own social media kind of stuff. You want to kind of give the people a little 411 and how they can find you on that?
Yes. So on Instagram, I'm Fanboy_Dave. So you can look me up there. Trying to get that going. And on...
They're still pretty fresh, right?
Yeah, it's still pretty fresh. I mean, I haven't had time to post a lot of stuff
right,
on that.
Right, right.
So I got like 2 pictures up. Got me dressed up as the Macho Man, but I don't have your voice for it. So, and then...
That was a great costume, by the way.
That was a great
Where
costume.
Where did you get that from?
Amazon. Amazon
really?
Is great for everything. And also on Twitter, Fanboy Dave Wrestling. You'll see me in my Ultimate Warrior face paint.
Nice.
So you'll see that there, but nice. Trying to get that going. If you want to have a follow, go ahead.
Yeah.
Leave me a comment.
Yep, for
sure. Good or bad or indifferent.
Yep. You know? Awesome. Well, listen, thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Brothers of Discussion Pro Wrestling Podcast. Don't forget, you can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts. Those are the two main ones we got going. Also, you can go to anchor.fm. And we are going to add as they come. We're going to be added on more platforms. And as those come, we will let you know, okay? Make sure you check out our official Facebook page at facebook.com/Brothers of Destruction.
No! You did it again!
Yeah, and you're right. Good gosh, if you weren't here, I wouldn't be able to... Thank you, Brothers of Discussion.
What am I going to do with you?
All right, so make sure you go on Facebook and look us up there. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Look for the same handle, Brothers of Discussion.
There you go.
Look for those same handles. Now, you can also email us at bros, not brothers, but bros of discussion at gmail.com with questions and comments. All right. So until next time, this has been Rob T with my brother,
Fanboy Dave.
And it's been a pleasure. We look forward to next week when we'll be discussing more on pro wrestling. Maybe we'll talk a little AEW.
You'll talk about that. I'll go make me a sandwich or something.
Either way, we're going to talk all things professional wrestling. So thank you again for tuning in, and we will see you, or listen to you, or you'll listen to us, I should say, next week. Keep it here.